Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? Happy New Year. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Very quick one today. Very quick, but I realize maybe some of the listeners of this podcast have a Week 18 Fantasy Football Championship. I feel for those folks, especially given all the things that we're seeing here with the players sitting and whatnot. But those are the breaks. We got to deal with it. So I'll give you some intel today. Tomorrow, we'll go through the games in a little bit more detail, but did want to go through at least the playoff teams, who is sitting, who isn't sitting for this week. Before we get to that, I do have updated rankings and projections, a labor of love this week for sure, over at ftnfantasy.com. So go check those out. If you're a subscriber, you can use them for other purposes, I suppose. I guess the projections would come into play for betting. And for DFS, so you can use those to help you out. But go check that out, ftnfantasy.com. All right, so let's get into the potential scenarios for all the playoff teams and then what we expect for each of them, given what we have this weekend. And there are a couple games that obviously we expect not only the starters to play, but to play the rear ends off. There are other games that may not have those implications. So first and foremost, on the AFC side, you have Kansas City locked into the number one, Buffalo locked into the number two. Baltimore will be either the three or the five, and essentially the Steelers will be the other, although there's a little bit more to it with the Steelers. But anyway, the Baltimore Ravens, three or five, they are the first game against Cleveland. Right now, they're 19-point favorites, so seems pretty likely they'll be locked into that number three. Houston has no movement. They are the four seed. Now, as far as the Steelers are concerned, like I said, they could end up still being the third seed if somehow Baltimore loses, and then the Steelers have to get by Cincinnati. So that's a little bit of a tall ask there, but not impossible. Stranger things have happened. But even with a loss, they'll still be the five seed with a Chargers loss as well. Of course, the Chargers are in, you know, an interesting spot. They're facing the Raiders. They are 4-point favorites here. But if the Steelers lose and the Chargers win, the Steelers move down to the six. Obviously, the Chargers would move up to the five. And, you know, so they're in between the five and six. Now, the final seed here would be Denver, Miami, Cincinnati. Cincinnati needs the most help here. They have to win. They're in the second game on the slate. But then they also need Denver to lose against essentially the Kansas City backups and Miami to lose to the Jets. Miami gets in if they win and Denver loses. Denver holds their fate in their own hands here. They just have to beat the Kansas City backups and they get in as the seven seed. So there are some moving pieces. And if you think about it, from the vantage point of the Kansas City Chiefs, we already know they're not playing their starters. Like, we already know we're going to see Carson Wentz. We're likely not going to see most of the main players. If they play at all, it'll only be for a few series. But we know that Patrick Mahomes, for example, is not playing in this game. So from there, Buffalo. Buffalo is apparently going to treat it like a preseason game where the starters will get some reps. We would expect the same thing out of Houston. Baltimore is going to be interesting because obviously they're going to play their starters, but they're 19-point favorites. If this game goes to script, the starters could be pulled by the second half. Like, you could see Lamar, Derrick Henry, say Flowers, Mark Andrews, guys like that on the sideline at that point. So, you know, you're going to have to be very careful with them. And if they win like we expect them to, there is a chance that we don't see the Steelers starters, or at least some of the key players, Russell Wilson, maybe the running backs, et cetera. Now, it is a little bit of a difference. I mean, if you go from the five to the six, you go from having to face Houston, like, then this is provided Baltimore wins, Houston or Baltimore. So you may have another game against the Baltimore Ravens if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you pull your starters. That's going to be a tough game. I mean, Cincinnati's going to show up to play. And I actually have a lot of confidence in them. I think we see Joe Burrow go out and do his thing. The only challenge is if Pittsburgh doesn't play their starters, then you could see, much like I just suggested with Baltimore, a blowout scenario where those starters aren't even playing in the second half. So you have to be careful with that. As far as the Chargers are concerned, essentially they're going to know their fate before this game happens. You know, they don't play until the 4 o'clock window on Sunday. So they're going to know what happens with Baltimore and with Pittsburgh. If it's a matter of ultimately, you know, they have to win to get the 5 seed, maybe Harbaugh goes after it. I will tell you this, and it's not a knock on Houston, but I'd rather play Houston in the first round of the playoffs. So that's got some moving pieces to it. We won't see Gus Edwards in this one, almost certainly. Not that anybody's using him, but with J.K. Dobbins back, and Dobbins has some incentives that he's chasing. I'll go over those on the podcast tomorrow. He should get a full compliment here. You know, even if it's a scenario where the Chargers are locked in, like say Pittsburgh does win, then I still think we see enough J.K. Dobbins to get him to those incentives. And again, I'll talk more about that tomorrow. As far as the final is concerned, I mean, first and foremost, yes, you will know Cincinnati before Sunday, but Miami and Denver are playing simultaneously in the 4 o'clock Eastern window. So they're both going to play, you know, and maybe eventually if it becomes apparent that Denver is going to win, then Miami takes their foot off the gas, but they're going to play. Now, as far as Miami is concerned, you have Snoop Huntley is going to start. So I don't want to knock the dude, though, because he did play well last week. And I actually really like the game plan from Mike McDaniel to kind of change things to fit Huntley a little bit better than they would Tua. So that was really smart. But by the same token, you know, not as much appeal fantasy-wise out of that roster with Snoop Huntley under center. So then let's move over to the other side. A little bit easier on the other side to kind of decipher some things because we don't have three potential teams getting in. It's really, if the Buccaneers win, they're in. If not, then the Falcons have to win to get in. But it really starts with the number one seed. Number one seed will either be the Lions or the Vikings. Nobody else has a chance for it. That is the final game on the slate. This game is going to be awesome. It's a 56.5 over under. Detroit currently 3-point favorites for that contest, starting everybody who is healthy in those games with confidence. And it does look like even Aaron Jones, for example, is going to go. So that should be a great finale to the regular season slate. Eagles are locked in it too. None of the key players are going to play in this one. So you're not going to have A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, who they're saying still isn't in concussion protocol, but it doesn't really matter to me. They could say that he's not going to play. It doesn't really matter the reason why he's not going to play in this one. Devontae Smith also. And the team did activate Dallas Goedert off of injured reserve, but that's more a move for the postseason. Goddard's going to slide in and you know, really give him some bang for their buck at tight end, more than what Grant Calcaterra can do. So that's good for the Eagles there, but it's not going to help us with this week. By the way, thinking about postseason fantasy football, do some podcasts next week on postseason fantasy football, like early in the week. We'll set the stage. We're going to have to talk about coaching stuff too, but we'll set the stage for postseason fantasy football leagues. Middle of the week, I'll have rankings all set up and draft strategy and all that good stuff ready to roll if you're in draft and hold style leagues. Number three can be either the Rams or the Bucks. We know the Rams are not playing their starters. It seems as though they are content with the essentially the home playoff game to start the playoffs. If the Rams win or the Bucks lose, then the Rams would hold the three. They will go to the four with a loss and a Tampa win. Tampa facing New Orleans, 13.5 point favorites. The Rams backups, because we're going to see like Jimmy Garoppolo, Blake Corum. I actually really like Blake Corum this week, so if you're in a pinch, but they are 6.5 point underdogs to the Seahawks right now. So it seems likely the Rams go to four, the Bucks go to three, but it is a divisional game, right? It is a divisional game, and I don't want to take those lightly. It's just hard to see a scenario where the Saints win. But maybe they play spoiler. If they do, Atlanta still needs to win to get in. If Atlanta loses to Carolina, If Atlanta loses to Carolina and Tampa loses to the Saints, that would be something else. But if Atlanta loses to Carolina, they would not get in, you know, no matter what. So they would be the four. That's the only seed they could be. The Rams would hold the three if the Falcons get in. If the Bucs get in, they're very likely the three. I mean, they can get in with loss. They just would need the Falcons to lose too. So I would expect the Bucs and the Falcons to have their full complement. Although, like I said with Baltimore, we could have a scenario in either one of those games where it's blowout central and you get the backups in. So just be careful with that. The 6 and 7 seed will be either the Washington Commanders or Green Bay Packers. Can't be anybody else. So the Commanders win, they get the 6 seed. If they lose and Green Bay loses, then they get the 6 seed. Obviously, they would have to lose and Green Bay would have to win to flip-flop their current spots. So Green Bay, we really haven't heard much from Green Bay. They face Chicago. They are 10-point favorites. That would suggest to me that at least the betting public, the bettors, the sharp bettors especially, because those are the folks who really move the lines, they expect Green Bay to have their starters out there. The expectation is Washington will as well. At least that's what Dan Quinn told us. So Washington currently 5.5-point favorites over Dallas. To me, that might mean maybe they don't play the full game. So just be careful with that one as well. A lot of places to be careful with this week. Now, as far as implications here, you know, if you go from the 6 to the 7, it's a difference of facing Philly in Philly or some combination of the Rams, Bucks, / Falcons. That's a decent difference there, especially if you're Washington and you already know you faced Philly twice this season. You already know how that goes. They are a tough team, no doubt about it. Philly is 4-1 in their division this season. So a lot of moving pieces, all those moving pieces, plus the fact that, you know, if you're even moderately hurt at this point, you likely don't play. You could go to injured reserve. Like, injuries that normally wouldn't place you on injured reserve will in week 18. James Conner, great example of that. I get the feeling that if this was week 5, it, you know, maybe he doesn't play this week, but he doesn't go to IR. So, you know, be careful with all that stuff too. Oh, and before I get out of here, I did want to address the, so there's, you know, obviously we're going to have some more jobs opening up when it comes to coaching, but we have the Saints, Jets, and Bears already open. Tom Pelissero said there are multiple teams who are doing homework on John Gruden and that he could potentially be interviewed for coaching vacancies. Now, I don't know how this ultimately all pans out. I don't know if Gruden is able to get back into the NFL. It's been a really wild series of events since he was let go from the Raiders to, you know, it was like he was persona non grata. He, you know, had the lawsuits in place. And then all of a sudden recently, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but he's made this sort of public comeback in working with Barstool. And as far as Gruden is concerned, he's still Gruden. Like, there isn't anything, you know, the bit is still there. Knock on wood if you're with me and all that fun stuff. I don't know if he gets another chance. I can tell you this, in the NFL, one thing I've learned over the years, and it is always true, if you are good enough, you typically get another chance. So the question is, do owners in particular, perhaps other front office folks, view him as good enough? If he is good enough, he'll get another chance. I mean, that could be a reality here. I don't know exactly who is doing their due diligence on him, and we don't even know all the other jobs that will open up. I mean, I guess we could speculate here on which ones are most likely. I mean, obviously Jacksonville is one, but I mean, if I run through them, we have some questions as to whether or not Gerard Mayo will retain his job. We've heard yes, but also it's not a resounding yes. Obviously, Kevin Stefanski is another one on the hot seat. I would say Brian Callahan, it sounds like he's going to stay. So maybe Shane Steichen, like outside chance. Definitely Antonio Pierce, like almost certainly loses his job after 1 year. Mike McCarthy, a little bit of a hot seat. Brian Daboll, maybe even a hotter seat after a 3-13 season. Fortunately, nobody in the NFC North, because One job's already open, and the other three are really, really good teams. I would say Dave Canales is safe. I don't think anybody's going to lose their jobs other than Dennis Allen already did from the NFC South. And I don't see anybody losing their jobs in the West. You know, Gannon has the team moving upward. Yeah, it didn't finish particularly well, but I think they're trending in the right direction. So, you know, not a ton of jobs. It's not like half the league is going to be open, but there's going to be some new blood and maybe some retreads. Obviously, Gruden would be a retread. We heard the Jets are talking to Rex Ryan and Ron Rivera, so you have some retreads there. But I would expect Liam Cohen gets a serious look. Obviously, we know Ben Johnson is getting a serious look. Aaron Glenn is getting a serious look already, being tied to the Saints. Ben Johnson tied to the Bears, though. There's some moving pieces with that one. I don't know if he ends up as the Bears head coach. I'd actually kind of be surprised if he does. Let's see. Cliff Kingsbury getting some buzz. Every so often there are college guys, but the landscape in college football is so different now that I don't know if that happens. It seems more likely it'll go the other way around, where former NFL head coaches like Belichick take over jobs. And he's not the only one. I mean, we've seen some guys go back down to the college level, Matt Rhule, for example. But anyway, it's going to be pretty interesting. I will cover that next week. By the way, tomorrow over at ftnfantasy.com, I am releasing my initial set, top 50, my first set of rankings for 2025. And something cool that I'm going to do this year that I haven't done in the past, I'm actually going to have projections almost right away. I won't have them for tomorrow, but I will have them in January. I've never done them before in January, but my model that I keep working on, I call it brand new, but it's the same model. It's just new and improved. I guess that's the way to say it. I can do it now. It's amazing. 2025, brand new year here. All right, I have another podcast coming at you tomorrow, and we'll do three next week as well. And really three as we work our way up through the playoffs. If you won your leagues, hopefully I had a little bit of a part in that, and congratulations. That is really awesome. It's not easy to win a fantasy football league, that's for sure. So let me know on social media, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter /X, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky. There apparently is some, you know, imposter who is pretending to be me, which is the weirdest thing, man. I don't even know. I've reported the account, but if you ever see a dash or an underscore in any social media account for me, it's not me. I will never use them in a billion years. Would never use them. I very much dislike dashes and underscores in social media account names and handles. So there you go. I'm still weirded out by it, but now you know that one isn't me. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. So I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.